Tonight we're going to turn the page in our book on connections. You know, we've been talking on Sunday nights all year long about connections, connecting to various aspects of our work here at this congregation, renewing and strengthening the connections that we have with various aspects. And most everything that we've talked about has had to do with the fact that we're Christians, but these connections reach out into our daily lives. And it just occurred to me today that maybe we should have had a theme song for the matter of connections. And there is a perfect one in our book that you and I know very well. But as we think about the theme of connecting with various things, connecting with our young people, connecting with our senior saints, connecting with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God's Holy Spirit, all of those things that we've talked about getting connected with or strengthening our connections to. I want you to think for just a minute about just the term connections. Connections. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I'm sure Todd knows it, but Brother Mitch Henry has I give him credit because he's president of the school, but landed on the theme for this year at Faulkner is reconnect. And it's just coincidental that we chose connections as our vision for the year 2023 here. And so think for just a minute about connections. How important connections are, and exactly what we're talking about when we talk about connecting and strengthening our connections. And while you think about that, let me read these words to you. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Isn't that a good theme for, or a good song at least, to go along with our theme of connections? Because in the words of that song, we kind of find it all summed up, the fact that the Christian unity and the togetherness and the oneness that we have, in fact, needs to be reflected in not just the way that we get along with one another, but in all of those things that we've talked about. How important it is to be connected. For the month of September, we have got our theme that we're going to be looking at, getting connected in worship. In worship. Now, we've had quite a bit of things to say about worship here in the last few weeks, and in fact, especially this morning, we really covered that ground well. And I just want to assure you that I only have 8 points to cover here with you tonight. And I know, preachers are mind readers. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, David, this morning you preached almost 45 minutes. You owe us a little back tonight. For your information, it was 38 minutes and 15 seconds. I went on the website to the recording from this morning, and I checked to see, because honestly, I thought it was too long too. I just wanted to see exactly how long it was. I really don't have 8 points to cover. I'm going to go over a list of 8 things with you, but we'll do that quickly. And you may be surprised at some of the things that we observe about that list. But let's think about worship for just a minute. Most of what we've talked about lately about worship has had to do with the mechanics of worship and the technical aspect of worship, what we do in worship, what the New Testament church did and set for us as an example, as we looked at it this morning, identifying God's church, and one of the distinguishing characteristics is the worship. Remember, God has always demanded worship. It was worship that got Cain in such bad trouble close to the very beginning, as he offered the wrong kind of sacrifice, the bringing of an offering to God. We see God's demand for worship reflected in almost every major story in the Bible. It's there in the story of Noah. When Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and worshiped God. And I've always felt like one of the reasons for the inclusion of so many of certain kinds of animals had to do not only with food to eat, but it also had to do with sacrifices to be offered to God. But that's not our point here tonight. It's just the fact that even in the story of Noah, we see a reflection of God's desire for man to worship. It's the heart of the Israelite experience as they received the law on Mount Sinai. And so much of their law had to do with and specified the various aspects of worshiping God, the offering of the sacrifices that were given. And the major heartache in the story of God's people continuing through the Old Testament was the fact that they renounced the worship of God on so many occasions and embraced the worship of false gods and idols. And then, of course, Jesus carried the same theme and ideas through his ministry, worshiping God. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan tempted him, his response to him in verse 10, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt you serve." And that's a quotation from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. And so much of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the young Christians in the epistles touched on either the theme of worship or the idea that God is to be worshiped. And not forgetting the discussion that Jesus had with the woman at Jacob's well on the subject of true worship and the true worshipers and worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know, our worship today is, again, something that we've talked a lot about, and it's something that most every religion does. But as we've been learning on Sunday morning, not everybody is concerned with doing it the way God's Word specifies. But thinking about the worship that we bring to the Lord whenever we come together, and you know, for the purpose of our discussion here tonight, I don't want to get into technicalities and all of that, but when I use the term worship, I'm thinking in terms of a worship assembly, but I'm really thinking in terms of every time we come together as a congregation, and somebody's always quick to jump up and say, "Ah, wait a minute now, Wednesday night, that's Bible study, that's not worship." And I've always kind of felt like there might be just a teeny tiny ulterior motive for someone to be saying something like that. In other words, if there's something I don't have to do, maybe Wednesday night is one of those things. I'm just saying that seems to me to be the kind of excuse that a lot of people want to use. But when I talk about worship here tonight, I'm basically including every time we come together, whether we're here to study in a Bible class, we sing songs of praise to God. Maybe we don't sing as many songs as we do at other times, but we sing, we pray, and we certainly expect a certain conduct and behavior. And so I'm not uncomfortable at all with lumping in Wednesday night Bible study in a conversation on the subject of worship. When I think about worship, I think about all of the benefits, all of the blessings that come to us by and through our worship. Not only is it an outlet for praise, providing us a way to, in a very specific pattern, to offer praise to God. There is, of course, also a very definite aspect of worship that emphasizes the matter of encouragement. When we come together for the better and for the betterment of one another. As we sing and pray and teach, thinking back to those five distinguishing characteristics we find in New Testament worship, singing and praying and teaching, all of those are outward things. Those are things that go outward from us. And then there is, of course, the matter of the Lord's Supper and the giving. Those are things that are rooted inside our hearts, basically very, in some ways we might say, private aspects of our worship. And yet, running through all of it is the continuous theme of communing together, participating together, and encouraging one another. Now let me get down to business here. You may have picked up on this already. I've been looking forward to this month on our list of things, our connections. And we made them all readily available at the beginning of this year. And we've talked about connecting with my church family. We talked about connecting with our youth. We talked about connecting with our senior saints. Connecting with God the Father. Connecting with my Lord Jesus. Connecting with God's Holy Spirit. Connecting with the eldership. And then last month, connecting with the church's work. And now this month, our theme that we're discussing is connecting in worship. Do you see anything different there? Do you see anything that's not quite exactly like those other eight themes? I know, different words and different subject, but there's a significant difference. And I may be the only one in the world that knew about it and planned it this way. Let me back up. Look at that one again. Now let me back up to the list again. Those are all connecting with. This one is connecting in. Again, that may be significant only to me, and I'm sometimes I'm guilty of manipulating words and things in order to make a good point in a sermon. Brother David, you do that, don't you, sometimes? But I think there is something significant here. And that's not to take anything away from the preposition with. With literally means tying two things together. And that's kind of what connecting is all about. Connecting with all of those eight things. Connecting with my church family and with our youth and with our senior saints. But now in September, we want to think about connecting in worship. I want to shift the emphasis just a little bit off of the connecting to the end. And in keeping with the theme that we've been talking about and the importance of worship, I want to remind us all tonight that this matter of coming together to worship God is a tool to connecting with all of those other things. Follow me on that? When we come together to worship God, when you're here in worship assembly, when I'm here in worship assembly, there's no better time to connect with my church family. Now, that's not the only time we can connect with our church family. And if the connection doesn't reach outside of the walls of the church building, if it doesn't reach out beyond the worship assembly, then something's really wrong. But the fact that when we come together to worship God, it is a high point of our connection with one another. And believe it or not, when we come together to worship God together, it should be a high point in our connecting with our young people. Honestly, when I look up and I see that row of girls that usually sits over there toward the front of that section, it just does something for me, because that says a lot. It says a lot about them. It says a lot about you who are their parents. It says a lot about their love for the Lord, that they're not ashamed, they're not afraid to be up in front of everybody where everyone can see them. And it reminds us of how important it is for us to connect with that bunch of young people. When we come together in worship assemblies, I promise you, our senior saints, our elderly brothers and sisters in this congregation look forward to coming together to the worship assembly more than we younger folks. What are you laughing about? More than all of us younger folks can understand, until we get to their point in life, there is no higher high point for getting closer together with our seniors than when we come together to worship. Again, that doesn't take the place of any of those connections outside of the walls of this building, but there's an extra special measure of it when we come together to worship. And you know, I'm going to step off out on a limb here, and I'm going to make a statement. Don't slip around behind me and cut the tree down. But I dare say that if you were to somehow track it and keep up with the data and make a list and all of that, you'd see far more elderly people who probably don't feel nearly as well as most of the rest of us do, still here, still coming, still assembling, still worshiping, when a lot of the younger folks are falling by the wayside. When we come together to worship God, there is no better way to connect with God the Father. No better way to connect with the Lord Jesus Christ. No better way to connect with God's Holy Spirit, with the eldership. I can promise you that elders have a lot more worry and concern when folks don't come to the assembly to worship. And even with the church's work, you know, when we come together in our assemblies, it puts us more in touch with the various aspects of the routine work that this congregation does. When we need help with some special thing or some particular project, and we start trying to figure out who we can get to handle this or who will help our deacons take care of this matter, I assure you, we don't go down the list of absentees and say, well, you know, they might do it. They haven't been here in 6 weeks, but they might be the ones. No, it's the folks who are regularly in the assembly that we can count on to be involved in the regular work of the church. And so, do you begin to understand now why I say this is really significant, connecting in worship? When we come together to worship God, worshiping Him together, let our worship assemblies be a tool to help strengthen our connections. Maybe as we conclude, we should think about two or three of the things that might keep all of this from working. In other words, it won't work if when we come together to worship, we're distracted or preoccupied. It won't work if when we come together, we're hindered by sin. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 when He talked about bringing your gift to the altar and remembering that your brother, you and your brother have got something between you. And He said, first, go and be reconciled with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. That principle there in that Mosaic law wording is still an applicable principle to worship today. It won't work if we are inattentive. Now, this year, you folks have been listening to the same preacher for 30 years. If anybody ever had an excuse for being inattentive, it would be you. But I rarely see a single person that I think isn't paying attention. That's not good for me, that's good for you. Because inattentiveness will definitely keep this whole thing from working and accomplishing what it needs to do. The last thing on my list is laziness. There's plenty of that going around these days. We can't afford to be lazy in God's service. We certainly can't afford to be lazy about worshiping God. Think about the unity aspect. And you remember what the Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian brethren over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The church there at Corinth, obviously just, they had a real problem. They'd misunderstood a lot of things, and they'd misapplied a lot of things, and there were some things that they were just flat out wrong about. And one of the things that they had been doing was they'd been misusing worship assemblies, and even in a specific way, the Lord's Supper. And he reminded them that their coming together to worship God was supposed to be something that benefited them, but he says the results of your worship lately has been that it's tearing you down. Then from that chapter, he went into the discussion in the next chapter about the importance of the individual person, like individual members of the body. And then he went into that discussion that we all know so well about the importance of love. Loving God, loving Jesus, loving one another. Connections. These connections are so important. Don't minimize them, and especially don't minimize the good of coming together and highlighting all of these connections. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation as one who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hope that you'll make the decision to do that tonight. If you've already obeyed the gospel, but sin has found its way back into your life and has become a permanent resident again, it has caused you to turn your back on the Lord, he wants more than anything for you to come back. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing this song.